Welcome to the Motoring Podcast, your weekly discussion of motoring news. This is episode 37 on Tuesday, the 12th of April 2016. Hello, I'm Alan, and I'm all alone this week. Andrew is away this week and next, unable to join the Skype. So, yes, you've just got me. In order to make up for the distinct lack of Andrew, we're actually going to be doing two episodes this week and two episodes next week. There's going to be a special edition in both. This week, you should already have heard the continuation of our chat with Rich Gooding, all about the different types of hybrid, different types of, you know, from electric vehicle through to internal combustion engine, and just what that means. If you haven't listened to that already, I strongly urge that you do, because we have a genuine expert. We had a genuine expert on the show, which was quite an experience, but also really, really interesting and hopefully really useful to you guys as well. Next week, as a bit of a teaser, we have a special edition all about Andrew's Saab and what it's like, what he's got, and why he came to end up with it. That's following on from the episode we did, I think it was episode 24 a few weeks ago, all about sort of his various requirements around a new car and these kind of things. So we talk about how the Saab fits those requirements, if it does at all. One last little piece of parish news at the front, at the start here. Apologies for the numbering. We recorded stuff, but we forgot to leave gaps for the other episodes that we're going to go in between, so bit of a numbering glitch. Don't worry about it, doesn't matter what order you listen to them in, really. So that'll be just fine. So let's move on. Let's head straight into the news. And just after we recorded last week, the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders came out and announced the March new car numbers. It's another month of growth, 5.3% up over March last year. It's actually made it the highest selling month since they introduced the biannual plate change in 1999. Every time we read out, and every time we talk about these numbers and how they keep increasing and increasing and increasing, it does worry me just that little bit more that one of these months there's going to be a spectacular pop. But I'll stop being Captain Negative. And keep on with what we've got. So long may it continue, really. Where do we start? Well, there's a 21.5% increase in the sales of alternative fuel cars over this period last year, and petrol and diesel sales were up 4.8% and 4.7% respectively. So rises across the board, with no negative impact on diesel, which we still kind of waiting out for following Dieselgate. I think that the people who listened to it thought, well, it doesn't really count for us. What's next? The top 10. It's time to dig out that copy of the sign of the swinging symbol, preferably with the brass one on it, and pretend we're on Pick of the Pops. So at number 10 in March was the Audi A3 with 8,200 cars sold. Number 9 was Fiat 500. Number 8 was the Mini. Number 7 was the Vauxhall Astra with 9,953 sold. Number 6 was the Volkswagen Polo. 5 the Nissan Qashqai. 4 the Volkswagen Golf. 3 the Ford Focus. 2 the Vauxhall Corsa. And number 1, just in case you haven't guessed, was the evergreen Ford Fiesta. A little bit less of a lead this month with 23,467 compared to the Corsa's 17,368. Just ridiculous numbers. In the year to date, figures numbers 1 to 7 are all exactly the same as I've just read. So that's Fiesta, Corsa, Focus, Golf, Qashqai, Polo, and Astra, with the Audi A3 coming in at number 8, Vauxhall Mokka at number 9, Fiat 500 at number 10. As far as this month, based on the equivalent month last year, there were quite a few winners. Amongst what I class as the small sellers, Infinity were up 156.21% with 392 cars instead of 153. That Q30 is really making a big difference in there. And I really hope that these were actually straight out to the customer cars. I would imagine they are, as opposed to pre-registrations. SsangYong up 114.6%, 970 instead of 452. And last in this wee section, Abarth up 104%, 104.58 actually, percent, 714 instead of 349. And those are the small sellers. So we often see that there's quite spectacular percentage numbers. Quite spectacular percentage numbers in there for some of these sort of people selling under 1,000 cars all the time. In the big sellers, though, Jaguar have sold 5,659 cars instead of 3,903 from last year. That's up 44.99%. Nira's done it, 45%. Land Rover, of course, in the JLR stable there, is up 14% on last year as well. So great news for Jaguar. And as well as that, pretty awesome news for BMW too. They're up 20.59% year on year. So they've sold 32,470 cars. And as well as that, Mini, naturally part of the BMW stable. Naturally? Debate that one if you like. up 14% as well. Not a huge number of losers. Very few manufacturers actually saw a drop this March compared to last March. Lotus did 54%. But remember, that's based on quite a small number of cars anyway. Similarly, Aston Martin, it's down 12%. Really, the most significant drop in sales numbers came from Mitsubishi. Mitsubishi this last month. 22.62% down on the equivalent month last year. I can only guess that those Outlander FEVs, PHEVs, are on a 2-year fleet replacement cycle there, because that's a fair old drop. I really, really hope that doesn't continue through. That pretty much sums up the SMMT numbers for March. Next up, a little bit of an update on one of the major topics from last week, which was the Tesla Model 3 and the Tesla Model 3 launch. So courtesy of a really good and really very in-depth blog post on US magazine site Car and Driver, there'll be a link in the show notes at www.motoringpodcast.com. There is a little bit more information about the Model 3. So it's a standard configuration. It's going to be two-wheel drive, single motor powering the rear wheels. There will be option of four-wheel drive with a second motor for the front wheel. Similar setup as we've seen in the Model S. There are still no torque or horsepower figures, so they don't really know what those are yet. I guess that's one of the things about an electric car. You can set some of these numbers much, much later in the development cycle than maybe we're used to, because I think that they're so incredibly controlled by the software and by the control unit. I do have to correct myself slightly, by the way, on my statement or question, rhetorical question, really, last week about was this the start of us seeing crowdfunded cars. One of the things that the Car and Driver article went into, actually in quite a lot of detail, I mean, I'm no accountant, son of an accountant, but no accountant, but it went through, you know, I don't know, the figures were made such huge headlines, I think, both in the number of pre-orders and then, of course, when everybody went, hang on a minute, that's how many pre-orders or how much per deposit? And they started coming up with basically telephone numbers worth of cash in the bank for Tesla. So the Car and Driver article pointed out really very well that the deposits aren't actually counted as Tesla's revenue. So Tesla can't actually say, yeah, we've brought in this much money until the customer takes delivery of the car. Okay, it's only at that point and say, right, okay, this £1,000 here moves from from the liability, moves across the balance sheet, basically. Until that point, it's on the balance sheet, admittedly, but it's both a cash asset and a liability on there. So basically, it's an asset that the company has, but right up until the point that the customer takes delivery, it's also a liability on the other side. So it's something which Tesla may use at any point. So it's there, and it's basically locked in as far as the accounting is concerned. Chances are that, as with the S and the Model S and the Model X, and again, I'm paraphrasing slightly from the Car and Driver article, that really those deposits will only be used for sort of funding some of the launch stuff and general operating expenses. Basically, you can't, and Tesla probably won't rely on that for any of the vehicle development. And neither do they need to. I mean, they were saying that as of the 31st of December 2015, Tesla had $1.2 billion in cash and cash equivalents. So, in the bank and in the accounts. So that's not going to be going very far. And there's plenty of money in there to finish off development of Model 3. So financially, whatever else you think of Tesla, financially it shouldn't be a huge issue there. As I say, it's a really in-depth, really quite complex blog post at Car and Driver. The link will be in the show notes at motoringpodcast.com. Please, I strongly urge you to go have a little bit of a look and a bit of a read about it. It is some interesting stuff. Next up from today, so to try and tie the family together a bit more, Tesla today announced a facelift of the Model S, sales and production of which start from today. From the outside, there is actually there is quite a significant difference, and that's that the grille is much, much smaller. It's more a sort of little black tash, as opposed to the sort of traditional grille shape that Model S's have had up until today. Other upgrades include the HEPA filter and ventilation system from the Model X. So I don't know if that includes the I've forgotten the correct name for it, the bio-warfare mode that's in there. And as well as that, the onboard charger has been upgraded to 48 amps instead of 40 amps for quicker charging. In the UK, starting price is now £58,300 for a 70D, a Model S 70D. And then from that, you can take the £4,500 green car grant off there. So it still makes it 50. Oh, the maths is good tonight. £54,000-ish car before you add any options. As I say, sales and production of that facelifted model have already started. Third piece of Tesla news tonight. Tesla Model X, the model that we all seem to have forgotten about. 2,800 of them are being recalled in the US because of the chance that the third row of seats could fold slightly forward in a crash. It's thought to only affect US market cars and is due to an externally sourced recliner latch in that third row seat mechanism. All the cars are expected to be fixed within the next 5 weeks. So yeah, that was something identified in crash testing, thankfully, and rather than in real life. Moving off Tesla news, taking a deep breath. Something else that we actually spoke about a couple of weeks ago, Andrew and I spoke about, it was platooning trucks. And we were talking about it on the upper reaches of the M6 and how the trials are going to start on that here in the UK. They're already well underway in well underway in Europe, and there was a platooning challenge. The platoon challenge has taken place with trucks travelling from across the country in platoons, ending up in Rotterdam in the Netherlands. The furthest travel platoon was the one from Scania, which travelled about 2,000 kilometres through Sweden and Denmark and Germany to reach Holland. No idea of just how long they managed to stay in platoons, but it was basically when they were out on the open motorway, that's what they did. There's an excellent Verge article on this, which includes videos about how this kind of thing works, which is well worth a click through. Once again, it'll be in the show notes at motoringpodcast.com. Really, the next challenge for platooning of trucks, as with most autonomous vehicles, but I think that this is a really interesting test case that we can look at before we roll down into passenger cars, really, is going to be regulation. Platoons are not totally autonomous. There's a driver in the front truck of the group setting speed, setting direction, all these kind of things. Right at the minute, there are drivers in the cabs of the trucks within the platoon. But what remains to be seen is how that counts towards, for example, driver's hours, as well as the various bits of basically road regulations that have to be adhered to as you cross from country to country. It's not so bad here in our little island nation. But it can become really quite complex once you cross the channel. So yeah, good luck with that. Last major piece of news for this week really is that the BMW and the BMW Group, which BMW itself just turned 100, passed its centenary. Earlier in the year, but BMW is going to be the feature mark at the 2016 Goodwood Festival of Speed from the 23rd to the 26th of June. The centerpiece sculpture is expected to include the 328 Mille Miglia Roadster, the Gordon Murray designed Brabham BMW BT52, and the Le Mans winning BMW V12 LMR. And naturally, there'll be plenty of BMWs, Minis, and Rolls Royce being shown off around the place as well. Also worth mentioning that Isuzu, Japanese, sort of now really as a manufacturer of pickup trucks, celebrated its anniversary. Its 100th anniversary last weekend here in the UK. The importers are celebrating with a limited edition Centurion version of the D-Max, of which there are going to be, wait for it, 100, unsurprisingly. So yeah, a little bit lower key for Isuzu than for. And that pretty much rounds it up for this week. Really, all there is to say is that to look out for some new content coming to the website and to YouTube. I was at the BRC event at Rockingham over the weekend. Lots of classic touring cars there, pickup truck racing, and some BMW racing in there as well. I've put together a video. I'll put some best of photos up on the website as well in there. So that is something to look out for. Doubtless I will be screaming about it on the Twitters. Of course, you can follow the show on Twitter at Motoring Podcast. On Twitter, you can follow me and get updates on what I'm up to at AJP Bradley on Twitter. And if you're looking for what Andrew's up to, then he's there. If you search for Cracked Windscreen on Twitter, you will find him pretty pronto. Don't forget that the Instagram, My Instagram campaign continues. There is a different picture every day, at least one picture a day. Often more. It just kind of depends what I've been up to on there. Again, it's Motoring Podcast on Twitter. Very, very original with all of this stuff. And last but not least, I really, really have to ask you once again, if you enjoy the show, if you like what we're doing, and you would like to support us in a way that will only take a few seconds of your time, and absolutely none of your money, then we'd really, really appreciate if you could pop over to iTunes or your podcast listening tool of choice. And if you could, please, please, please leave us a star rating. And even better than that is leave us a review. It makes a humongous difference to where we sit in the rankings in iTunes, which is the biggest podcasting platform out there. So, that kind of stuff, it makes a massive difference to us. I really, until we started doing the Motoring Podcast, I would listen to other podcasts and wonder why people made such a big deal of it. Now I get it. It really is vitally important. And it's just awesome if you could, basically. That's really what it boils down to. So there we go. That was just a very quick news highlights show tonight. Let's just check how very quick it is. Yes. Under 20 minutes. Very, very quick news highlight show tonight. I'll be doing the same next week again, and then Andrew will be back the week after that. In the meantime, there's a couple of, as I say, there's a couple of specials coming out. If you fancy a listen to them, that would be just great too. So that's it for this week. I've been Alan Bradley, and until the next time, safe motoring.